From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Happy holidays to everyone. And I'm starting that way because this is our final live Insight of 2018. And that means it's one more Capital Chat with our Capital Bureau Chief,
yes.
Ben Adler.
One
here
more.
He is. This is a tradition. Usually at this point, we're looking behind us and ahead because there are always new laws that kick into effect January 1st.
Only a few hundred or so.
That's part
maybe
of
close to 1,000.
What we'll cover. Before we get too much into 2019, I'd like your take on this year in California government. So let's go back to January 1st of this year, 2018. What was that year like as the dome opened up for business again?
Awkward.
It was awkward.
It was awkward. Three because... assembly members had already resigned due to sexual harassment allegations, and an investigation was plodding along into a state senator, Democrat Tony Mendoza. So that legislature's first day back in January of last year was awkward. Mendoza's colleagues were urging him to take a leave of absence. He resisted, then agreed. Eventually, he resigned to avoid being suspended. And that in part led to the legislature adopting a new process for investigating sexual harassment complaints that will take effect in the coming weeks.
That's some of the new law discussion that we'll have. As the year progressed, that umbrella topic was so important in the country. So too was California's opposition to the Trump administration. We were in the midst of an election cycle. What's your, let's say, short list of adjectives for how the year unfolded?
Ooh, adjectives. I had topics and issue areas
okay.
ready to go. Other than awkward, I think I used up my adjective stash.
Okay.
But I would say the issues that really rose to the forefront in the legislature was less so perhaps Trump in Washington, D.C., and more so issues much closer to home, like housing and homelessness and wildfire prevention and in particular liability. You've got billions of dollars of damage from fires in past years and, of course, this year in Redding and in Paradise and in the Ventura County area. And this is a moment of reckoning for the state, I think, both in housing affordability and wildfire prevention and liability issues that got great attention at the Capitol over the past year and will get perhaps even more over the coming year. And then finally, the politics. You call it a wave, a tsunami. It doesn't matter. Democrats overwhelmed Republicans. Republicans disintegrated in California politics in 2018. Gavin Newsom led a slate of entirely Democrats who won all the statewide offices. Democrats took back all seven of the battleground congressional races, not just supermajorities now in the state legislature, but as Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon joked in a recent op-ed, gigamajorities, because mm-hmm. Democrats essentially have three-quarters membership in both houses. And so this is a state as we get ready for 2019 with a new governor coming in, Newsom replacing outgoing Governor Jerry Brown,
right.
and a more Democratic legislature, a state that is poised to inexorably move to the left.
As we look at new laws for 2019, the one at the top of the list on our Cap Radio new laws page, by the way, you can follow along if you'd like to at capradio.org/new laws, is a wage increase that's going to take effect that, you know, Ben, it almost seems like ancient history because it was passed 2 years ago and so much has happened and changed in the state in that 2 years. But that wage increase has been so anticipated in this state and speaks to a lot of the issues you just listed that people in the state are dealing with.
It has long been a debate over how best to address California's affordability crisis. Is it to raise the minimum wage or is it to cut back on regulations and ensure that, you know, gas costs and electricity costs are lower? Well, the answer from Democratic lawmakers and Governor Brown in 2016 was to pass a law that sets in place a series of annual minimum wage increases staggered to eventually reach $15 an hour and then after that adjusted by inflation. There's also a year-long delay for employees of small businesses, 25 or fewer employees. So for those smaller businesses, the minimum wage will rise on January 1st from $10.50 to $11 an hour. For larger businesses, 26 or more employees, it'll go from $11 an hour to $12 an hour.
Also passed in 2016, a farm worker overtime bill, that law takes effect.
Yeah, so that was a complicated and bitter battle at the legislature, and parts of it took effect previously, but what we have right now is, again, phasing in. So eventually, farm workers will be paid more, will be paid overtime pay if they work more than 8 hours a day or 40 hours in a week at farms with 26 or more employees. You can see that standard being used frequently by lawmakers. But right now, this is being phased in. So starting in January, in the past, there had not been overtime restrictions. But right now, it's going to be 9.5 hours in a day or 55 hours in a week. That's when you are going to get overtime pay if you're a farm worker.
Another new law that you would call a business law actually was passed this year, 2018, and it has to do with sidewalk vendors across the state of California.
Yeah. And so this bill, this law, prohibits criminal penalties for sidewalk vending while allowing local governments to regulate vendors. So I think there hadn't really been any sort of standard, and vendors who were out there may have kind of been in the, you know, just kind of risking it, and nobody entirely knew what to do, the vendors, the local governments. And so now we have basically the state saying, look, you have to let this happen, but local governments, but you can set the rules and regulations and limitations for how it's done.
Let's shift to a new law under the category of children and families that addresses workspace and the increasing number of moms who are at work.
Yeah. So this law requires employers to make private space available for breastfeeding other than a bathroom. Now, previously, that law required space other than a toilet stall, and this says other than a bathroom. And so there are some provisions in there intended to help small businesses that might not have ready space available, that you can, you know, request a hardship, but you do have to show good faith effort. You have to try and you have to do what you can to make your employees who are breastfeeding moms able to do that very important life, a part of life and development of their child.
In fact, employers can face a fine if they don't obey that law. And women can file a complaint if there is an issue there with the Department of Industrial Relations. That's the kind of law that could change your daily life if you're in that category of life experience. There's another law, actually a few under food and sustainability, that are going to affect more of the millions in California. Let's talk about the straws law.
Yes, the straws law, or straws upon request. And it is if you are at a full service restaurant and you'd like to sip your drink through a single use plastic straw. Anyone got a sound effect? Thank you, Beth. You'll now have to ask for one. And restaurants can be fined for repeated violations. So let's stress full service restaurant. This isn't applying to McDonald's. This is applying to restaurants where you sit down, you get a menu, you order a drink, the waiter or waitress brings you the drink. You'll need to ask for a straw if you want it.
That kicks into effect January 1st. It was passed this year, 2018. Another one passed this year has to do with kids' meal drinks.
And again, a similar concept of requesting if you want something. This deals with what drinks should be the default drink option at restaurants that sell kids' meals. So this time we are talking about McDonald's. Right now, oftentimes soda or juice are default drinks. And this law requires water or sparkling water or milk of some sort to be the default drink. You can still get a soda or a juice with your kid's meal, but you're going to need to ask for it.
Let's stay with food for just a moment. There's a law that's called micro-enterprise home kitchens. It's a concept that may take off across the country. It does sound very California, especially with our farm-to-fork emphasis.
And I would suggest that when that's we'll have that story up in the coming days, and then take a look at capradio.org. There's going to be a lot more detail than I'm able to say. But my understanding is this has to do with folks who might cook meals in their homes and then want to sell and deliver them. And
right.
There are app services that are starting to get set up to provide that. You could think of it as what, a combination of Uber and DoorDash, but
yeah, and for me, the freshness is where I connect it to farm to fork.
Yeah.
You know, if you have accessibility to anything fresh and you want to cook it in your home, and then people say, oh, I'll buy it. I know it's already been popular in San Francisco.
But then you have questions about who knows how clean or healthy the kitchen is, right? And you don't know, you're kind of taking it on faith. So there is a public health interest involved. And so this law allows cities and counties to permit and regulate the small-scale sale of meals from home kitchens.
Shifting to a gender law that may affect a number of people. This had to do with identity on state documents. And it gets to a lot of conversation that happened this year, Ben, about the boxes that we check or use in male, female, and how do we define ourselves?
Yes, this has to do with the non-binary gender law that Senate President Pro Tem Toni Atkins, I don't think she was not President Pro Tem at the time, but she passed that law in 2017. And it basically requires the state on a whole host of forms to offer a third option, male, female, and non-binary. But what takes effect on January 1st is over at the DMV. So the DMV driver's license application form will require applicants to choose either male, female, or non-binary. And it is self-selecting. So you pick the one you want and the DMV goes with it and does not question you.
I'm talking with Capital Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief, Ben Adler, whose brain by this point in the year is
mush.
Packed
<It's>
full. I was going to give you all kinds of credit, but yeah, I think after the year that it's been, especially election years, it does get to be a holiday. I can't wait for the relaxation phase.
Except
right?
This year we have a four-term history-making governor leaving office and a brand new governor taking office, so there's no rest for the mushy-brained.
Which, because you mentioned that, I'll note that Saturday is a work day for you, a rather special work day.
Yeah, we're going to head up to Governor Brown's ranch in Colusa County and have our exit interview with him. You may have heard NPR's exit interview on All Things Considered. It was an excellent interview, and we hope to ask some more California-specific questions and also maybe some things that the governor, as far as we can tell, hasn't touched on yet. So we'll see.
At capradio.org/new laws, you can find out more about all the new laws in 2019 that we're talking through. Let's get back to some of those workplace changes that were put in place through and because of the Me Too movement in California.
Sure. And there are three that we're focusing on, although there are, I believe, were a larger list. One measure protects employers who report sexual harassment allegations without malice. That means you're not just doing it, making an unfounded allegation at someone who you're mad at, which I don't think is known to be particularly common. So the question is, well, in the past, if you've put in an allegation against someone, that person might have sued you for defamation. And so this law protects you if you report the harassment allegations without malice from liability for defamation of the people they accuse. And there's another liability thing. What happens, I mean, right now, I guess employers, when asked for reference checks, can be sued for defamation if they say negative things about a past or current employee. So this law would allow employers to indicate during reference checks whether an individual has been determined to have engaged in sexual harassment. That's a lot. In one law.
Right.
There are a couple others. One is quite simple. Bans non-disclosure agreements in sexual harassment, assault, and discrimination cases signed on or after January 1st. So non-disclosure agreements, basically a signed agreement saying, I won't even speak about the existence of being paid money to settle a case over, say, sexual harassment. And then a third Me Too in the workplace law deals with non-disparagement agreements. That's where you agree not to speak ill of an employer. And this law prohibits employers from forcing new employees or those seeking raises to sign non-disparagement agreements or waive their right to file legal claims. But those rights could still be waived as part of a settlement. And that is typical in exchange for a severance package. That is the third law. There's a lot more in this law, SB 1300, and I'd recommend checking it out at capradio.org because one of our reporters, our colleague Nadine Sabai, took a good look at that one as well.
To me, these laws don't mean that you might never be approached to sign a non-disclosure. It may still happen. An employer may still ask you, but the
non-disparagement. Non-disclosures are banned. Non-disparagement agreements where you cannot speak ill. You can sign them for a severance if you're leaving.
The question is whether these things will hold up in court. And that's what became really important over the past year is what was court going to look at? What was the process under the Capitol Dome going to look at? What was legal? What isn't? So to me, these laws clarify going forward in cases of sexual harassment in the workplace, where are hard and fast lines drawn?
And with this last law about non-disparagement agreements, what I believe has been the case was some companies some businesses, often large ones, were requiring as a standard practice new employees or employees getting raises to sign away, to waive their right to file legal claims against the company and to sign non-disparagement agreements. So if you're going to come work for us, you can't talk crap about us, basically. And as a standard practice, that's now banned.
All right. I'm going to totally shift gears here.
Yeah.
Here's
your segue.
There's a new law about pets.
Oh, you're barking up a new tree.
Oh, you were so waiting for that, weren't you?
Just thought of it in the spur of the moment.
Okay. We do have to touch on this because this is animals are so important to everybody, and there is a new pet law to know about.
Requiring all dogs, cats, and rabbits sold in California pet stores to be obtained from animal shelters or rescue groups. And Beth, I have to say, when we surveyed the newsroom about which reporter wanted to do the story, about half or more of the reporters said, yeah, I want this one.
We do have animal lovers here. Oh, two more categories. They somewhat roll together. Public safety and transportation. There's a small group of laws, so let's cover those.
I'm going to group together two police transparency laws right now. One that requires body camera footage be released within 45 days of a police shooting or when an officer's use of force causes death or great bodily harm. Another allowing public access to police records in use of force cases, as well as investigations that confirmed on-the-job dishonesty or sexual misconduct. The latter was supported by police chiefs, the earlier one opposed wholesale by public safety groups. But the fact is, there's going to be a lot more information out there about some of these police shootings that have been so much in the news, such as the Stephon Clark shooting in
Sacramento. Which inspired much of the discussion and the introduction of the bills that then became law.
Yeah, the concept's not necessarily new. The momentum.
Exactly.
Absolutely. There is a measure that prohibits 14 and 15-year-old criminal defendants from being prosecuted as adults. That one was controversial. The governor signed it after much deliberation. District attorneys were dead set against it, and many victims groups pointing to cases like that of the Davis teenager, Daniel Marsh, I believe, from a few years back. And then gun violence restraining orders got a lot of mention in news after some of the shootings. California has a gun violence restraining order law in effect, but this eliminates fees for requesting it. So a family member or a law enforcement officer who wants to try to get a restraining order to seize guns and ammunition from someone seemed to be mentally ill, that is in effect right now. This new law eliminates fees. And law enforcement can seize ammunition as well as the guns under the program.
There is a DUI deterrence law that kicks in January 1st.
Yes, and this is actually one that will affect you if you drive inebriated. This will expand a pilot program that mandates ignition interlock devices for severe or repeat drunk driving convictions. The pilot program had been in just four counties, including Sacramento, and this law expands it statewide.
Let's talk about motorized scooters for a minute, and then there are also temporary license plates under another driving law.
Motorized scooters, yes. So there's a bill that or a law that'll allow local governments to raise the speed limit for motorized scooters on streets to up to 35 miles an hour or higher on certain highways with special bike lanes. Motorized scooters, like those jump bikes, are seen as a future mode of transportation, or in some places, a present mode of transportation. Temporary license plates requires auto. Oh, this is the. So you know that when you buy a new car, or if you buy a new car, you get
a
paper license plate with
paper.
The dealer at. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, toll agencies hadn't liked this because how do they collect tolls?
Right.
So from here on out, there are going to be temporary paper license plates issued when new cars are purchased.
With a number, with
some identification
sort of
on
identification.
It. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Smog checks. Well, right now you're required to get a smog check for any vehicle older than 6 years old. Right now, the new law is going to raise it to any vehicle over 8 years old, but there will be a $25 smog abatement fee for those 2 years, the 7 and 8 year old vehicles.
Okay. One more.
You
have
I feel like
that.
we're running a marathon. We're in mile 26.
If you have that green and white HOV sticker and or the decal allowing you to drive in the carpool lane.
Wow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Colors You'll, changing.
You will need a red decal affecting more than 230,000 drivers throughout the state. This is dealing with the green and white HOV lane stickers. HOV is just an acronym for carpool, high occupancy vehicle. So carpool lane stickers. Well, those were for some older low or zero emission vehicles. And now there's just so many decals and so many of those cars out there that that benefit is coming to an end. And you're going to need a red decal for some of the newer cars if you're going to be able to use the carpool lane.
All right. Deep breath. Last time I asked you this question, you only knew part of the answer. So I'm circling back around. What's the plan for the governor-elect Gavin Newsom's inauguration?
What is announced publicly is that he will take the oath of office in a ceremony that begins around 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday, January 7th. And of course, Capital Public Radio will have live coverage. We're teaming up with KQED. Beth, you'll be in this room. I'll be down at the Capitol, and our colleagues from KQED will be there and in San Francisco. And we're going to have a really good show for folks, and we'll have live coverage throughout the day as well, including on Insight that morning. A couple other things that we know. Is that the night before, Governor-elect Newsom will host a concert at the Golden One Center. We don't have further details on that yet. But I would say if you're taking bets, there's a decent chance that the rapper Common will perform, because Common performed at Newsom's election night party and at a previous Democratic Party convention on Newsom's behalf. And that afternoon, that Sunday afternoon, the governor and first partner, as she wants to be called, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, will host an event for families at the Railroad Museum in Old Sacramento. Again, we don't have further details on that yet either.
All right. And you have to leave us with a little bit of projecting. You didn't really have adjectives other than awkward for the beginning of 2018. As 2019...
Fiery for 2018 in politics and in fires.
Okay. That's right. That would be a good one for 2018. So 2019, what do you think we're going to see or feel or experience?
It is going to be a new era. I mean, that's not a one pithy adjective, but a new era in California politics. There's no other way to describe an institution like Jerry Brown retiring off to his ranch, and a new governor who is perceived and certainly campaigned to the left of Jerry Brown, working paired up with a legislature that is overwhelmingly Democratic, more so than the legislature that Jerry Brown worked with. And that doesn't mean that there's going to be this huge appetite to pass tax increases, even though the votes are there more than enough. It's likely that enough moderates will be able to block that. What is, however, true is that when you've got three quarters majorities, it's a lot easier to get to a simple majority for, as one Capitol watcher pointed out, bad bills that might be on good topics, well-intentioned but poorly written, a lot easier to get them through the legislature. So I'm going to be fascinated to see to what extent the Speaker of the Assembly, Anthony Rendon, the Senate President Pro Tem of the Senate, Tony Atkins, and the new governor of the state of California, the 40th governor in a state nearing a population of 40 million people, Gavin Newsom, to what extent do they say no?
Well, thank you for a terrific year of reporting. You had important contributions to us at Insight, along with your producer, Sally Schilling, some great podcasts. I want to say Nadine Sabai has been a great addition to the team. And earlier this year, our colleague Ben Bradford, who has since gone off to Marketplace, you just rock at the Capitol, really. So thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks, Beth. And congrats to you on another strong year of insights and more to come, starting with that inauguration day. Actually, before that, we'll have Jerry Brown's exit interview on part of Insight, I think.
Spend time focusing on the outgoing governor. Yes. And you can check out the California Laws series taking effect in the new year at capradio.org/newlaws. Happy holidays to you and yours, Ben.
And you as well.
You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.